I drifted off, but started awake every few minutes. Enough time had passed that I'd begun to second-guess what had happened just after the launch. I'd been so focused on what I'd been doing that when I had noticed Jad bumping into the blue payload and getting stuck to it, I decided not to go check it out. That had been a mistake. I should have gone for it. Instead, Arcibald had gone after Jad, and to judge from the way Jessery had been screaming when Arcibald had made it back, he had just barely escaped with his life and Jad's. This was a bad plan. Who had come up with the idea of doing it this way? I understood the logic. Arb had 200 missiles, no more, each just barely capable of getting a tiny payload to a dangerously low and short-lived orbit. There was only so much we could do working from that. We'd all studied the planet Elkhazg, come to grips with it, nodded our heads, accepted it. But that was one thing. To be up here with payloads zooming around chaotically, bumping into each other, getting melted together, hiding under space blankets, there were so many ways this could have gone wrong. Could still go wrong. Could be going wrong now. What if I had been a little hastier when I had reached the nuke and made a bid to drag it back? We'd all have died. I was worrying again. Actually, it was worse than that, even more pointless. Rather than worrying about the future, which could be changed, I was worrying about things that might have gone wrong in the past and couldn't be changed in any case. Leave that to the Enchantress and the Redders, respectively. Where were all of the Thousanders now? Gathered in a stadium, chanting, "Raz!" I opened my eyes. Had one of those moments when I simply couldn't figure out where I was, could not convince myself that the launch hadn't been a dream. "Raz!" One icon was visible on the display. Fra Jessery. "Here," I said.
"It's great to hear your voice," he exclaimed,
sounding enormously relieved.
"Well, I'm touched to hear you say so, Jessery."
"Shut up. I'm incoming. Get the blanket out of the way so you can get a clue what's going on."
"Are you sure? Aren't we in line of sight?"
"No."
"I think that we are in line of sight, Jessery."
"We were last time. Now we're not."
"Last time?"
"We missed you first time around. Crossed your path, but the altitude difference was too great. Couldn't raise you on the wireless."
"This is our second try?"
I checked the time. He was right. 90 minutes, not 45, had passed. My oxygen indicator had gone red. I'd slept through the first rendezvous. I swiped the blanket out of the way, saw a balloon a mile away and rapidly getting closer. Tucked up under it was an ungainly structure of inflated grapnel tubes with dozens of red and blue fuzzballs caught up in it. A few space-suited figures on Monufiques kept stationed nearby, all turned to look my direction. The row of icons flashed up as I rejoined the reticule. But no one spoke except Jessery. He had come out alone.
"If I fail, remain calm and wait," he said. "There are two layers of backup plans."
"But they sent the best first, eh?"
I kicked away from the nuke, very gently, and fired a grapnel into its net cloud.
"Thanks, but for doing what you did, you get bragging rights, Raz."
Jessery had floated in range. He spun about, collected himself, and fired a grapnel of his own.
"Maybe we can brag when we're old," I said. "What should I do?"
"Orient positive radial," he said.
This meant that instead of facing in the direction of our orbital movement as before, we had to swing around 90 degrees so that our backs were to Arb. I did it, and bumped lightly against Jessery as we came around side by side.
"Rotate down 45 degrees and fire a 15-second burst," Jessery said.
15 seconds was huge, and if the calculations had been wrong, would send us far off course with no propellant to get back. But I did it. Didn't even think of not taking the suggestion. This was Jessery. He had been watching me coolly as I'd gone out to fetch the nuke, had done the theorix in his head and triple-checked it with the Syndev. I swiveled and fired, lost my visual in so doing.
"You are headed for us as if we were reeling you in on a line," Saman proclaimed,
but his tone of voice was all I really needed to hear.
"Take no action," Leo warned us. "You're passing under us. We are coming to grapple you."
and a moment later, two sudden yanks and a cheer from the others told me we'd been captured. I took my fingers off the thruster controls just to prevent my trembling hands inadvertently firing the thrusters, and let Leo and Osa tow us in.
"Raz, you're secure," Leo said. "Saman, final star check, please."
"We are still shielded by the balloon," Saman said.
"Good,"
Leo said.
"I'm sure everyone wishes to congratulate Fra Erasmus, but don't. Save oxygen. Do it later. Archibald, you know what's next. Let us know if you need to borrow oxygen from someone else."
The others had pulled on white overgarments of tough fabric to stop micrometeoroids and to reflect the heat of the sun. These made them look more like proper spacemen. One was given to me, and I put it on. Then, like the others, I snap-linked myself to this huge tangle of nets and payloads and grapnels and tried to sleep, while Archibald and Leo got the tender online. This meant maneuvering it and the nuke closer together, and then connecting them. Already connected to the tender was a flexible water bladder. Other cell members had been busy during my absence, scavenging water from the reservoirs on the blue payloads and transferring it into this bag, which had plumped out until it was bathtub-sized.